All right, Hebrews chapter 6 this evening. Look at verse number 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation through though we thus speak. Here's our text verse tonight. We're going to pick this verse apart. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I want to preach tonight, simple message. I've only got a few thoughts tonight, and we'll go home here real soon. But my thought tonight is this, the main thrust is this. Don't forget, God doesn't forget. Don't forget, God doesn't forget. Lord, tonight, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the great day together, what we've had. Lord, I've enjoyed that fellowship this day. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for meeting with us this morning. I believe, Lord, the Spirit of God was at work in my life and in the lives of our church family. Thank you, Lord, for the junior church time downstairs and the hard work that those folks put into that. Lord, I praise you now, Father, for our church family. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we look at tonight at your word. I pray for help. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with our young folks as they go to camp this week. Lord, use the word of God over and over again in their life, Lord, to bring help and conviction and truth, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the Cloud family as they lay to rest, Brother Durham. Lord, thank you, Lord, for his great testimony. Lord, that we know that there'll be a reunion one day and that we'll see him face to face again one day as well. Lord, thank you, Lord, for his legacy that he left, Father, for the cause of Christ and how you used him, Father. Pray that you bless, Lord, there in Georgia. Now help us tonight, we ask tonight, be with those who are at the jail ministry tonight, laboring there. I pray that you bless them as well. This we ask in your precious name. Amen. Hebrews is an interesting book, and of course Hebrews was written to Hebrews, the Jewish Christians. And these Hebrews oftentimes struggled with the grace of God. They oftentimes struggled because oftentimes they'd want to go back into the Jewish laws and try to follow the system or incorporate some of those laws. And so they struggled back and forth. And so Paul, the book of Hebrews now, we think written by the Apostle Paul, not for sure, but he writes them to encourage them to continue in the faith. And that if they were to leave the faith, they're not going to find salvation in any other thing. They're not going to find salvation back under the law, under Judaism. They're not going to find salvation in circumcision. And so that he exhorts them and encourages them to stay faithful to the gospel, that there's salvation in none other. He then says in verse number 1 in our verses tonight, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And so here we have again the truth that God wants us to grow as a Christian. And there are some things that we should just get settled. And Paul says, I want you to get settled this idea of salvation through faith and move on from that. There's more to grow and move on from that. And so a lot of times I think this little plug here for an application is that you need to get settled in your heart who you're going to serve. What the Bible is to you. What do you believe in the book? And then move on from there. There are some things that we ought not hash over and over again. I was talking to a preacher last week about a college out toward Indiana, and I won't tell the name, but it's close to Hammond. They're struggling. The leadership is struggling again with the King James Bible. Like I thought that was settled a long time ago. Why do we have to debate that over and over again? It's settled. It's the King James, the Bible. It's the Word of God. Move on from there and continue to grow. And so I think that some you young folks tonight, nail down what you believe and why you believe it based on what the Word of God says, and then move on from there. And so settle the doctrine of Christ once and for all. And here the book of Hebrews reminds us that as you look, you're not going to find salvation in any other. And if you fall away from the gospel of Christ, there's not salvation any other method or plan. So then he leaves from that argument in the first few verses. Then he goes to the argument of verse number 10. And he says, for God, verse number 9, brother, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation through though we thus speak. And so as he talks about falling away from the gospel and going back into the roots of Judaism, he says, but wait a minute. though I'm going to give you a stern warning, I am persuaded that there's better things in your life, and that you have the right heart toward God, that you're going to move on toward better things, that you're going to exhibit the things that accompany salvation. And boy, that's a great truth as well. And so we see here, what are those better things? He lays those out in the next few verses, those better things. And I want to talk about those tonight. And I want to talk tonight about the believer's work. And so as we look at verse number 10, I like verse number 10. And I've used verse number 10 often in my life when you get a little discouraged about serving God in the shadows. You know, I prefer to be in the shadows, but every now and then, the shadows can be a lonely place to work and labor in. And so we find here that God reminds us that God doesn't forget. So let's look at this verse tonight. Let me bring out a few thoughts here. Number one is this. Notice with me the believer's work. The believer's work. We find in verse number 10 it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." We find that the believer's work is ministering to the saints. Now, we need to be balanced in the Christian life. That, at times, can be very easy to be balanced, and at times, there can be a struggle with being balanced. And we as a church be trying to be evangelistic and be soul winners and obey the commission of Christ, the great commission of the gospel. We get consumed about the lost, and we rightfully so. But the Bible says that though we have a commission to the lost, we have a responsibility to the saint. And the Bible reminds us that the believer's work is just not preaching the gospel to the sinner, but also to minister to the needs of the saints. So the believer's work here is reminded that we're to minister to the saints. The word minister means to wait upon or to attend to the need of the saints. So we have a commission to the lost, but a responsibility to the saint of God as well. If we're not careful, we show compassion to the sinner, but then contempt for the saint. You know, let me just meddle here just for a little briefly. Let me throw a few jabs. I won't throw any knockout punches tonight, but let me throw a few jabs and back away, all right? And, you know, it's amazing as Christians sometimes, we're all good about getting the lost saved. Getting in the house of God, getting to serve God. But it seems like every saint of God we criticize. You know, as long as they're sinners, we're okay with that. You know, we're good with the sinner. You know, hey, he's a sinner. But when they become a saint, we can't say anything good about him. It doesn't make any sense to get the sinner in the church of God, get him born again, and then pick him apart as saints. You know, and so we need to show just as much compassion for a saint as we do a sinner. Because it's the same person, flesh and blood, just saved by grace. And so we have a commission. We have a commission of the lost, but a responsibility to the saint. And so we need to show compassion to both. Look with me in a few scriptures this evening about the ministry of the saints, and I always like to use the Bible because the Bible covers up bad preaching. All right, so let's look at Romans chapter number 12. We'll look at three places here real quick here about the work of the believer, the believer's work, ministry of the saints. Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Romans 12 and verse number 9. Look what it says here. Verse number 9, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Watch verse number 13. "Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." We have a responsibility to the saint. The believer's work is ministering to the saint. And now, God didn't say that we're to enable the saint or spoil the saint, but we're to minister to their needs. We're to be mindful of one another. And the Bible reminds us in Galatians chapter 6 that every man must bear his own burden. You will give an account for how you serve God. And so I'm not to come alongside and take your burden, but I'm supposed to help you bear your burden. So that's a ministry to the saints. So God says here, be mindful of one another, love one another, be kind one to another, and distribute to the necessity of saints to be given the hospitality. Look at Galatians chapter 6 with me. Galatians 6. Come to the right again. Galatians chapter 6, and look with me at verse number 9 and 10. Verses number 7 and 8 remind us of that a man will reap what he sowed. Verse number 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's a great verse. I want to remind you that truth will always win. Truth always conquers. It may not be in your time, but in due time, truth will always win out. The person that is serving God will always reap from that. But verse number 10 then says about this well-doing. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That's the person sitting next to you in church tonight. God says, listen, do good to everybody, but especially to your family. Now, I remind you tonight that you and I have the ability to pick our friends. We can't pick their nose, but we can pick their, that's a bad joke too. Usually young kids like that because they're already picking the nose when I'm saying it, but we can pick our friends, but we can't pick our family. But we all love our family. For whatever reason, God saw fit to place me here as your pastor 12 years ago. He saw fit to place you in this church as well. And so we can't always pick our family. But God says that we're to be given the hospitality and that we are to be kind and that we are to give to the needs of others, especially we're to do good unto all men, especially of those who are of the household of faith. And so when a person is a born again believer, we have double responsibility to do good unto them. By the way, that should be our testimony anyway, really. Our testimony is that's a good man. He does good to people. He does good for people. And so we have a responsibility to minister to the needs of the saints. Look at the book of 1 John chapter 3. Book of 1 John chapter 3. The believer's work is ministering to the saints, waiting on the needs of others. We read in the book of 1 John in chapter number 3, verse number 14, here the word of God reminds us, and it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. That's referring again to salvation. Because we love the brethren. How does a person know they're truly saved? There's lots of evidences that God gives us to weigh out that question. One is, did you obey the Bible? Did you, by faith, put your trust in Christ? Did you believe? Well, that's an easy test. Did you believe in Jesus Christ? But then salvation produces a new creature in Christ. There's evidence attached to that. And one of the evidence that we have in our text tonight, the Bible says that we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. No, it doesn't mean we always agree with what the brethren do, but we just have that, we have this thing about us that I can't help but love the brethren. If you're saved, that should be your testimony. I know that sometimes that the brethren can be knotheads. Sometimes they can sin. Sometimes they can backslide, but I just can't help but love the brethren. Why? Because you're saved. The word of God then says in verse number 14, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we find here in the scripture this evening that verse number 17 says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, shut up his bowels of compassion from him, huddleth the love of God in him. And so there are my responsibility, if I'm able to help others, God says, if you love me and you love the brethren, if you're saved, you will help them if you're able to do that. Now there are times when every one of us say, you know what, I just don't have, God doesn't expect us to give what we don't have. But God did say, if you have this world's goods, and you're able to see a brother in need and you don't help them, God says, where's your brotherly kindness? And so we have a work to do, not only win the lost, but minister to the saints. We look back at Hebrews again. Look back what it says here in Hebrews 6, verse number 10. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, wherein you have sowed his name, where you have sowed toward his name, and you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So here we find that this work had been done, it was continuing to be done. They had been known of doing this in the past, and they were continuing to do it in the future, the present. This sounds to me like a habit, like a way of life. May I remind you of the household of Stephanus in the book of 1 Corinthians 16, that they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. They, listen, and by the way, when you start helping people, you start ministering to people's needs, it becomes an addiction. Because you realize, wait a minute, here I'm a vessel that God is able to use in some way to help other people. And God didn't call us to save the whales and keep the emerald borers from getting into the elm trees. And I'm all for being wise and handling, but listen, we get so bent out of shape by those things while folks die and go to hell and Christians languish on the vine. Well, we got to be ministering the needs of others. That when you help, start helping people, there becomes an addiction where I'm looking to help somebody. And so that's where the household of Stephanus was, this young family. Not just mom and dad, but the whole house got a hold of this idea of ministering to the needs of others, and they all got involved. Well, how do you do that? How do you minister to the needs of others? Well, first of all, you got to be looking. Got to be looking. You can be watching and paying attention to people. And usually the ones that cry the loudest, they're maybe not the ones that need the most help. Sometimes the ones that are quiet about it and don't do much complaining. And you got to listen and look and watch. And it can be little things. It could be just a simple card. It could be a letter. It could be a phone call. It could be a nice text message. Now, the thing about text messages, sometimes with letters, is sometimes they don't understand the spirit of your text or your letter. I tried to write an encouraging letter, and it got taken out of context because they didn't see my heart in the matter. And so a good phone call visit, it might be where you go to your refrigerator and take some groceries out, take some groceries by someplace. It might be that you have some ability to help somebody with a ride here and there. Just you're ministering the needs of others. I remember years ago as an assistant pastor of Dependence, we had a guest speaker came by and preached for us that night. And during the invitation, he knelt beside somebody and prayed with somebody and noticed he had a hole in his shoe, the bottom of his shoe. So my wife and I, we left after the invitation, we left and went to the ATM and got some money for our savings account and gave that preacher some money to buy some shoes without any holes in it. And he didn't complain, and he probably wore those and been happy to do it. But there was a need that was noticed. And you've done that, I'm sure, in those areas. But our job is to minister to the saints. That's the believer's work. And this work, the scripture says, don't be slothful, verse number 12. Don't be slothful in this work. Don't be lazy in it, but be studious about it. And it says that in this work that we're to be imitators. It says in verse number 12, but followers of them that who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The Lord says, don't be lazy in the ministry of the saints and follow those who are doing it. God says, don't get around and imitate rebels. Don't follow complainers and troublemakers and gossipers and slanderers. Those who are always bent out of shape and angry about something, God says, don't imitate and follow those people, but find somebody who is ministering the needs of others and imitate and follow that person. In fact, if you were to read 15 and 16, God exalts this household of Stephanus. They were believers that got saved under the preaching of Paul, got involved in the ministry, addicted to the ministry of helping others, helping the believers. And God, and the Word of God says in verse number 16, He says that we're to follow that type of leadership. Put them in charge. And God said the best leaders are those who make the best servants. Those who are helping others and make the best leaders. Not talent, not personality, but those who labor. And so God says here to follow those, be imitators of those that faithfully minister to the saints. Number two, I want you to notice with me tonight, not just the believer's work, but also the believer's motivation. God calls it, in verse number 10, He calls it a labor of love. What is our motivation? I'll be honest, men can do great things for a lot of wrong motivations, even good things. Sometimes the work of Christ can be carried out in the right way with the wrong motivation. The work is good, but the intent is wrong. It's not uncommon. It's easy. Really, I'm telling you, as a pastor of 21 years, it's easy sometimes. Your motivation is, you know what? It'd be nice to have my name known. It'd be nice to have my name printed somewhere. I remember the first time I got business cards. Man, I was proud to have business cards with my name on it. Pastor Edward R. Mast. What a great thing. It feeds the ego. Doesn't make me any smarter. And it feeds the ego. I got a card. You know, got my first office. Your name on the door. You know, nothing wrong with that. But you can have wrong motivations. And so we find here that the motivation of the believer is a labor of love. What do we do it for? Because of love. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." Thank God for liberty. It says, "But only use not liberty for occasions of the flesh, but by love serve one another." Look at the book of 1 John chapter number 4. I believe it's the right one. Scripture here. I'm going to jump a couple here. But in 1 John 4, that's not the one. Let's look at 1 John 3 verse number 10. It says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us. Sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another." Verse number 18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Verse number 21 of chapter 4 says, I was reading the wrong whole thing. Let's try that again. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 10. I'll try that one again. "In this, the children of God are manifest." Here we go. I was having a great time doing it all wrong. "In this, the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." That's an ouch verse. God says, if you don't do righteous, you're not born of me. If you don't love your brother, you're not born of me. "For this is the message that he heard from the beginning, that you should love one another." Verse number 18. "My little children," that's the verse I wanted, "let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." What motivates us to help others to minister to the saints? It could be for a lot of reasons. It could be to have your name mentioned, big thank you card, to be applauded. And though the work is good, the motivation's wrong. It's selfish, it's arrogant, it's proud, and it doesn't glorify God any. There's a lot of motivation we do things. Perhaps we help the saints because we feel like if we help somebody, then they owe us. That's an ouch too. You know, if I help somebody, then you know, somewhere in the line, he's going to help me back. You know, we expect that same person to reward us down the road. But God said, here's the motivation. The motivation ought to be out of love. Because you love God and you love them, the brother. And because we love the brother, I can't help but help somebody. My wife knows that for the most part, I'm a softy. I may look tough from the pulpit and speak a little bit gruff and have a little deeper voice than some, but I have a hard time saying no. I really do, especially if you cry as a woman. It's like, oh, what do you want, you know? And except if you're my wife now, because she's cried so much over the years, I've just gotten used to it, you know? It's like, here we go again, you know? No, I'm just kidding. Don't start crying. What do you want? The only guy that I know is not influenced by tears from a lady is Brother Tom Porter. But he's not influenced by anybody's tears, you know? I don't mean that wrong, Tom. It sounds bad. You're just being guy. But Emily, I told Emily, I was giving Emily a hard time one time. I said, just cry. She goes, I don't bother him. But our motivation ought to be love. Why do you help people? Ought to be strictly for love's sake. Now watch this. So number three then. So we have the believer's work, number one, is ministry to the saints. Number two, I find in Hebrews chapter 6, the believer's motivation is one of love. Notice now number three, the believer's attitude. The believer's attitude. Why do we do what we do? Well, it's for love's sake, but we're doing it. We're not doing it for you. We're doing it as unto the Lord. See that there in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, that ye minister and to the saints and do minister. So we find the motivation is a labor of love. Because I love God, I've got to love God's people, and love wants to minister to people. But I'm not doing it just for you, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. Doing it unto the Lord. You know, I've chosen in my life, there are some preachers that I know, I'm going to be their friend, regardless of what they do. I've come over the last year and a half or so, I've come to love Brother Dan Woodward. Just a great friend of mine. A special friend. And I'm chosen. It doesn't matter if that guy gets old and crotchety. And I'm going to love him. I'm going to minister to him. And this past several weeks, I've gone to camp, not so much help the camp, but to minister to him. To help him. This past week, I got an email from, I thought it was from him. I said, Dan, Brother Woodward, why are you emailing me? I'm not. I got an email here from your. Then it all sort of popped up, and I heard it was his wife. And she said, Brother Matt, basically Brother Mast, she goes, I know that you're a husband and a father and a preacher, you're probably very busy. Thank you for choosing to help my husband. You've helped him and encouraged him along the way. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that tonight to brag about me. I'm simply saying tonight that why do we do, we're not doing it as unto people, really. We love people, but we're doing it as unto the Lord. The Bible says that when we do something in Jesus' name to somebody of low degree, in Matthew 25, verse 40, it says we've done it as unto the Lord. God says that when you help the needs of others, you're not just helping them, you're helping me. You're helping me. My attitude has, listen, if I'm looking for recognition, and if I'm looking for applause, there's at times you can get discouraged and say, I'm not going to help anybody anymore because I always get taken advantage of. Feel abused. Did that come out right? At that time. Taken advantage of. Then all of a sudden, sometimes you find out that you help somebody and your needs that you have are greater than their needs that they had. Wait a minute, he should be helping me. And it's easy to get discouraged, disgruntled, cynical, angry, bitter, and come to the place, I'm not helping anybody anymore. It's me, myself, and I, us four, no more. The rest can go to hell. Now, you won't say that, but that's what we feel inside. So that's pretty harsh, preacher, but that's pretty harsh to live that way. Now, here's what helps us. When our attitude is kept right, and we say, you know what, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. It's for His sake. Now, watch number five. Notice the believer's consolation. We find in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10, what a great opening to the verse, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Christian, I want to remind you, don't forget that God does not forget. In ministry, it can be easy to get discouraged. It may be for you that you don't get a thank, there's no thanks, there's no appreciation, there's no recognition. You may not get in return what you expect. We have this idea sometimes as Baptists that if I give, it's going to be given to me and 100-fold right away. I'm guilty of that at times. I'm thinking, you know what, if I help somebody, if I help so-and-so, the next day I'm out to my mailbox, I'm looking for this big check to come in. Like, you know, God, I helped somebody, where's the big check? There's no big check. God, I remind you of your scripture, given it shall be given. And God says, listen, fat boy, you ever gone hungry? No, Lord, I haven't. You ever not had a house to live in? How's your house compared to your parents, how you grew up? Pretty nice, God. You ever had to go naked anywhere? Not because I had to. I had clothes. Sometimes things don't come out. You ever had to sleep in the cold? Nope. Got a pretty good furnace in my house. God said, yeah, you've been repaid up front, forward. Hey, listen, tell you something. God does not forget. He's not unrighteous. That phrase alone should help encourage us to take great consolation that God does not, He is not unrighteous. People are unrighteous. People are arrogant and proud, unkind, unloving, bitter and angry. And that's just us on our good days. I remember years ago living in Walk-On. And it got out, I don't know how it got out, this little podunk town, a farm town got out that Calvary Baptist Church helps people. I don't know if they painted the curb on our corner or put a mark on the lamp or something or the street light. But we had everybody and their brother coming by saying, can you help us? We had this lady come by. She came by quite often, about once a month. And she began to just preach. And she knew I was a softie. She probably figured from day one. Preacher, she'd come in. She'd pull in the driveway of the car nicer than that I drove. She always had a cigarette in her hand. And she'd come in and say, preacher, I've got kids and I can't feed them. So we worked out with a grocery store in town that if I sent a letter signed by me, that they would letter by groceries from our local grocery store. Couldn't be soda, couldn't be beer, couldn't be candy, but local, but you know, the staples, and that we would pay the bill for them. So she got wise to that. She came every month. Every month. Never showed any appreciation. There was never a thank you letter, never a thank you card. And so we did that for several months, and finally I'm like, wait a minute. What my wife said must be true. We're being taken advantage of. So I stopped the lady one day and I said, she came in and I said, listen, ma'am, so we sure love to help you, but we're a small church. Tell you what you'll do. If you'll clean our church for me, if you clean the auditorium, if you'll go and dust the auditorium and vacuum, I'd be happy to pay you for it. No, thank you. And we never seen her again. Now, let me tell you something. This little side note, God will take care of that lady. If she took advantage of us, God will take care of her. We are supposed to do our part. But here's the point. Sometimes we do things to expect recognition, to expect our name to be mentioned, to expect sometimes something in return. It's easy for men to soon forget who helped them. You know, we've helped folks. This church has helped folks sometimes with thousands of dollars. And for a small church, I think that we've done well in the past 12 years helping people. And sometimes it seems like that's soon forgotten what you've done. And that's just nature of people. We're the same way. Man, my parents did all kinds of things for me that I soon forgot as a teenage boy. Took for granted and assumed. So what reminds you of what their parents did when I became a parent of teenage boys? It's like, wait a minute, my parents did what I'm doing and I was pretty unthankful. But here's my point that I know I'm kind of rambling, but here's the point that I want to make. God does not forget what you've done. I'll forget. I've had folks say, preach, you didn't remember me. Yep, I didn't. I'm sorry. But God didn't forget. God does not forget what you do in the shadows. God does not forget the sacrifice you make when you can't afford it. God does not forget your labor of love, your tears, your prayers that you shed, the prayers that you pray for others. God does not forget your encouragement to others and your handshakes and your kind words. God hears them and sees them and He does not forget. And God is a rewarder to those that will seek Him and serve Him according to Hebrews chapter 11 verse number 6. God says that He sees those things and rewards those things. Now, Christian, tonight, let me say this in closing and I'll be finished. Sometimes your reward is not today on this side of heaven. That's what we really want at this time in our carnal stage. I'll be honest. That's, you know, I'm thinking, hey man, if I help people, I'm going to get a bass boat here real soon. Free! I'm going to win it in a raffle somewhere from Cabela's. They're coming and say, preacher, you want to come? You want a bass boat? Yes! I'm like, I'll give God the glory as I ride around it and fish. But it doesn't happen. God, yeah, I promise. I'll name it something spiritual, you know. But that's our first reaction. But God says, wait a minute, I'm not unrighteous. I don't forget. I'll take care of you. And your reward is in heaven. And really, when we're thinking about it in the right frame of mind and being spiritual about it, we'd much rather have our reward there than here. You know why? Because a bass boat, no matter how great it is, here, especially in the hands of Chris and I, it's not going to last very long. Okay? May I remind you how that we drive in the Mississippi River, we destroy props. And I'm amazed how expensive props are. Yes. Yeah. And so we should just maybe get a paddle boat and paddle fish or something. But the bass boat here, this side of heaven, it's going to rust and decay and be worth nothing. You see them all the time in people's yards next to fences full of water, rusted and junked. But the reward in heaven will last for eternity. And with that reward, you'll be able one day to also take that reward and say, Lord, thank you for this reward, but I'm not worthy. Thou art worthy of all honor and glory. I just want to encourage you tonight. I know it's not been something you hang by the chandeliers and swing from and shout. I won't have my name in the sword of the Lord for this message. Then I won't come from anywhere and say, hey, that message you preached on the night, would you preach it at our church? But I want to remind you tonight that God, don't forget, God does not forget. Amen. Lord, tonight, thank you, Father, for